You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 447 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, January 9th. I am your host, Sean Woodley, RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode of the podcast. Also, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network. We have team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams, as well as all 32 NFL teams. And we have national shows as well. We've got Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. He has great weekly contributions from guys like Mike Sando of ESPN and others on that show. And then on the NBA side for the national angle, we have five different sets of hosts from across the network chipping in to make that a daily show. David Locke is, of course, one of the weekly hosts. We've got Adam Mares and Anthony Irwin do, I think, the Friday show. Josh Lloyd does the Monday shows, and we also have weekly contributions from Ben Golliver and Sam Amick from The Athletic on there as well. So make sure you're checking those shows out. Finding a show that you like on the network, please support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. It's extremely helpful and it makes us feel pretty good. Also, if you have a smart speaker, an Alexa, Google Home, anything like that, you can play the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. Just say the name of your smart speaker. So say, hey, Alexa, play podcast Locked On Raptors. And guess what? Alexa is going to play Locked On Raptors, and you don't have to touch a thing. So make sure you're using that nice little feature. If you got a smart speaker over the holidays like I did, we have two of them in my house now. They talk to each other. It's weird. I feel like I'm being watched all the time, but I play podcasts pretty easily, and that's nice. So make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. That's just another way to get us into your ears. All right, on today's show, we're going to touch quickly on the Raptors and Hawks game from last night. The Raptors won 104-101 in a game that was, extremely sloppy, I guess is the best way to describe this one. It was not very well played by either team. The Raptors were the much better team by the end and have Kawhi Leonard, who decides to rip the ball out of the hands of poor defenseless offensive players pretty much whenever he wants to, and that ended up sealing the game. He had a great finish to the game. The Raptors, as a whole, the last minute or so was very impressive and nice to see. So we'll talk quickly about that game, and then we'll get into our preseason, checking out our preseason prop bets that myself, Sahal Abdi, and today's guest, Vivek Jacob, did at the start of the season. Vivek, how's it going, buddy?
Not bad. Raptors are winning again. Mm-hmm. All is well. Look forward to these prop bets to see where we're at. I feel like I might be on the losing end based on what I remember.
You might be too. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you are not doing so hot, but we will check that out in the second and third segments. But first, we have to get to the Raptors win over the Hawks, which, like I said, not one of the sexiest games the Raptors will ever play. A total of 44 turnovers in this game, 26 on the part of the Hawks, 18 by the Raptors. And the Raptors just, like, I don't know. I never really felt like this game was in all that much jeopardy, even though they never really had a lead. It was kind of back and forth, lead changes all throughout the game. And they were even down in the last couple minutes. And so I guess you could say it was in jeopardy. But, like, I don't know. I'm looking across and seeing, like, Daniel Hamilton and DeAndre Bembry and, like, John Collins riding some insane heater from deep. And, like, I just didn't think it was all that sustainable. I wasn't particularly scared. And the Raptors did what I kind of expected they would do, just maybe in a bit more of a glorious fashion than I thought it would come, and pulled away with some really great defensive sequences at the end of the game, mostly orchestrated by Kawhi Leonard. Vivek, do you have a big takeaway from this game against the Hawks?
Yeah, if you're tanking, it's probably a good idea to try and go at Kawhi to close the game. And it worked out perfectly for the Hawks, and so they lost. And stay alive in the Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett sweepstakes. Yeah. So we'll see.
That is an ideal tank loss, right? Like, being close against a good team but not actually pulling it out. Like, that is... I think the Knicks have had a couple games like that, too, where they, like, fight valiantly against, like, the Pacers or something and then lose at the end because they don't have the wherewithal or the desire to win the game at the end.
Well, it's kind of funny, right? Because they brought Vince back onto the court.
Yeah.
And Jared Milton was there, too, thinking, oh, this is going to be pretty hilarious if one of those two hit a game winner. And then, no, they just go with Trae Young on Kawhi, and it ended as you would expect.
Yeah, like I had a bit of a premonition, and it incited me to tweet something about like Jeremy Lin and Vince Carter being the starting backcourt of the all buzzer beater against the Raptors team. And like, I kind of had a bad feeling that something was going to happen like that. Lin had a great night. He had 20 on 8 of 10 shooting with 9 assists as well. Someone's going to pick that dude up, right? Like, I think he's probably more of a buyout thing because he makes a lot of money. But yeah, that's he's a good player, and that's not something the Hawks have in spades. And like, credit to them, I thought they played really well last night, aside from their 26 turnovers, which is weird to say, but like, I thought their offense was pretty good. They attacked inside pretty well. John Collins obviously going 8 of 11 and 3 of 3 from deep certainly helped things. And you know, Trae Young I thought had a pretty nice game despite not shooting incredibly well. But yeah, it was like a game that, I don't know, people can be mad about it for the Raptors side of things, I suppose. Like, you don't put away a team like the Hawks. And they've had some games against bad teams where they haven't looked entirely crisp or they've looked flat out terrible. Like, I think about that Orlando game, for example. But, you know, for the most part, they do the thing where they beat the bad teams and they kind of pull it out at the end. And they did that in this one. And honestly, I would prefer to see what happened at the end of this game than garbage time in the fourth quarter. The end of this game was awesome, even if it is against the Hawks. Getting to see Kawhi make that, like, ridiculous just robbery of a steal that goes the other way and they swing it around like four times and they get a block of the dunk. Like, that was really, really cool and fun to watch, as opposed to, I don't know, like Malachi Richardson getting, you know, run at the end of the game in garbage time. Like, that was preferable to me. What did you think of like the Kawhi-Kyle synergy in this one? Because I guess that's the big one, is the big story of this one, is those two played together for the first time in over a month, or just about a month. How did you think those two kind of played off each other?
I thought Kawhi did a lot better job of, you know, not getting into that sort of Kawhi offense that sort of seems to separate itself from the team. Mm-hmm. And you especially saw him try to throw those hit-ahead passes, very Kyle Lowry-esque. And so those type of things, you know, getting the Raptors out in transition as much as possible, trying to take advantage of the 26 turnovers that the Hawks had, I think that lends to just more variability in the offense, and I think that's a positive. And you look at what this team can do defensively with Kyle Lowry on the floor, added to all those other guys, you know, with Ibaka and Siakam can do as well. That should be, I think, a point of emphasis. And so I think now, I mean, we still haven't seen Kyle Lowry's shot get on that hot streak, which you hope to see now. Mm-hmm. With him healthy. So if that comes along, then I think we'll see an even better flow. But I think, you know, sometimes when a guy is out injured for as long as Kyle was, that time away sitting, you know, on the sidelines, it gives you a different perspective and sort of seeing how you can fit better or maybe make things a little easier for other guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think we might have seen a bit of that with Kyle. We'll have to see a sustained stretch of it and against better opposition as well. But that's what you hope comes out of this stretch that Kyle was out.
Yeah, I think if anyone's going to use that time for good, it's probably a very smart person, Kyle Lowry. So that's a good point. I'm glad you made it. And yeah, I thought like it was weird that they only won by three and it almost slipped away, but I didn't feel like they played all that poorly. And I feel like a lot of guys had good games. Like Kawhi was incredible. 31 on 18 shots. He had the 3 of 6 from deep as well, along with the 6 steals and the 6 assists, which, don't look now, the last 3 games, 6, 5, and 5 assists for Kawhi. That is encouraging as hell, and I think kind of speaks to him maybe getting a little bit more comfortable within the offense, kind of knowing where guys are going. It seems like him and Siakam have a bit of a simpatico going now, where Leonard's finding Siakam on cuts. I think there were a couple last night where that was the case, and so that's good to see. And I don't think Kawhi is as good a playmaker as DeMar was, and like that's obviously made up by all the other things Kawhi is better than DeMar at, but if he can just be like some semblance of a good playmaker where it's not just like a black hole where you just kind of know the offense, when the ball goes to him, it's just going to be him taking the shot. If you can add some variation to that, that's going to be huge. And I thought he did a really good job last night kind of making some passes that he almost had no business making. There was the one at the end of the game where Kyle missed really badly on a wide open three from the top of the arc that Kawhi like got like triple teamed and still found a way to throw a dart to Kyle at the top of the arc. And it was like, damn, like that is what you want to see from Kawhi, where he's not just having this tunnel vision, almost like a Jonas like tunnel vision of the past. You know what I'm talking about, where like Jonas in the past would get a post up and it was just like, oh, he's gonna go try to score, or he's gonna turn it over or miss. And that's kind of what it's been like with Kawhi a lot of the time when he gets the ball in the post. And if he can start making those passes and those really good passes that he's obviously capable of making, that's going to open things up a whole lot more for not just, you know, the Kyles and Siakams and Van Vliet of the world, but also himself as sort of the threat of the shooters around him kind of becomes brought more to the forefront in the minds of defenses as well. So, again, they only won by 3, and you can be upset about it if you want. And, you know, the people were in my mentions last night talking about how, like, the Bucks were blowing teams out every night, and you just want to see a blowout like that. And sure, like, that'd be nice, and I'm sure they'll come. But I didn't think last night was, like, a glaringly bad game aside from some, you know, ball security stuff. I thought the Hawks deserve a lot of credit. They played a really, really nice game. So I think we can leave the Hawks game there. We'll come back on the other side with some more interesting stuff. We'll look back at our 2018-19 Raptors prop bets we made at the start of the season and just kind of go through and see where we're at just past the halfway point and who's going to be winning. I think it might be me, but I'm not exactly sure. So we'll do that in just a second. But first, I want to remind people to check out the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram. It's a great resource. If you follow either at Locked On NBA, at NBA Net or at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter, you're just going to get all of the hosts from the network into one feed. You don't have to go follow every single one. Keep your feed nice and clean, and then it's retweeting into your feed all of the fresh podcasts being posted, all of their breaking news responses and reactions, all their stuff from, you know, live tweeting games, all that good basketball related content just kind of condensed down and filtered into one feed for you to check out on Twitter. And then on Instagram, posting little, you know, 30 to 60 second clips of each podcast on the big stories of the day. And if you want, you can go listen to the full podcast if you click the link in the bio, or you can just listen to the little condensed take and then you have your Houston Rockets news of the day or whatever it is. It's a great way to liven up your Instagram feed, so make sure you're checking that out at Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram. All right, prop bets 2018-19. I have the spreadsheet here. I have not prepared. I don't know the answers to a lot of these yet. I'll be finding them on the fly. So here we go. The first question that I posed was more points per game: Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, or DeLon Wright? And boy, some of these Pascal Siakam-related questions are going to seem real dumb from the previous part of the season. So Sahal said Fred VanVleet would have the most points per game. Both you and I were on the right side of history and said Pascal Siakam would. Pascal is leading this one by quite a bit. He's at 15-ish points a game. I think Fred, Basketball Reference, come on, work with me here. Fred is averaging about 10.5, so you and I are both getting the point on that one, at least as of this moment.
Hey,
anything to say about the fact that we each got the point on this one? Like, how surprised are you? Obviously, you picked Pascal, but, like, did you think the gap was going to be this significant?
I guess I wouldn't expect, if you asked me before the season started, I wouldn't have expected Pascal to average 15.
Mm-hmm.
So that is maybe the surprising factor. I also think that I expected Siakam to be in a bit of a rotation with OG Anunoby at the four spot, just the way Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas have been.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that I probably didn't see playing out, and Siakam just taking the role. And you know, I think I saw him more as a sixth man candidate than I did most improved player.
Right.
So I think that's probably the big thing that's created that separation. So, probably just the aspect of him starting and averaging as much as 15 this season. And I didn't see that coming. So with Fred and DeLon, you know, you figured they'd be in that timeshare in the backup role. So, yeah, more than anything, it's just 15.
Yep, fair enough. I was pretty high on Pascal coming in, as we'll get to with a couple more of these questions, but I'm surprised exactly. Like, I thought maybe we'd see more like playmaking stuff from him and like a little bit more rebounding, and the defense I think was going to be the thing that was really going to stand out for him. The offense coming along to the point that it has, where he's shooting like 68% true shooting or whatever the hell it is, or what it's been hanging around all season, that is a complete surprise to me. So yeah, and I think we'll get to another question as well in the next one, where like some of the points that Siakam's putting up, I thought were going to be put up by somebody else. So yeah, I picked him to be leading Fred in points at this point, but certainly not to this extent. Next one here. Jonas Valanciunas, points per game, over under. I set it at 14.0. So Hall took the over. You took the under. I took the over. He is currently at 12.8. So you're going to get the point for that one as it stands right now. I'll just begin with my thinking on this one when I made the pick. I thought that the minute split between him and Serge was going to pretty much be the inverse of what we've seen so far, because we were coming into the season with Serge Ibaka coming off that playoff run where he looked absolutely useless, and I just thought Jonas was going to be able to sort of thrive in that starting five. I thought he was going to start most of the games. It seemed like that was what they were leaning when we made these picks. And I thought Jonas was going to be like the bell cow center, maybe, you know, get close to 30 minutes a game, just because like his defensive deficiencies were going to kind of be covered up playing next to, you know, starting OG Anunoby. That's what I thought was going to be the case. And Kawhi Leonard and obviously Danny Green as well. So I just thought Jonas was going to be up there. His points per 36 and all this stuff has always been so insanely high. His production's always been ridiculous. So I was like, yeah, there's no reason that if he plays 28 minutes a game, he can't average, you know, 16 and 11 or something like that. That hasn't quite manifested itself. And he's playing, I think, a career low in minutes right now. It's still averaging 12.8. So like maybe he gets some run when he gets back in, and maybe we see the minutes go up. I don't know. Maybe with Serge getting some rest. I don't think this one's totally out of the question for him to kind of catch up, because he's only played 30 games as well. So the averages will be a little bit more in flux if he has a big game or two here and there. But I don't expect him to get over 14.0. So I think you're probably going to be in the clear for this one, Vivek. Did you have any opinions or thoughts on this question?
Yeah, I'm happy that I wasn't as low as most on Serge Ibaka. I think, you know, most of last season I was hoping that he'd move to the center spot, especially when Masai had that press conference, you know, before last season, I believe, saying, you know, Ibaka's probably more of a center now. Mm-hmm. That's what I hope to see, and it just never materialized. So I was actually looking forward to him getting center minutes. The other thing, too, is with Nick Nurse becoming the head coach, even though he has that healthy relationship with JV, I thought he would, you know, subscribe even more to the shot spectrum of the modern day NBA. And so I thought that would hurt Valanciunas a little bit. That's part of that's basically why I went into it with the under. And I'm winning.
You are winning and currently leading 2-1 and nothing through two questions of the halfway point of these prop bets. Number three, I really, really screwed up here. More starts, Danny Green, Norm, or DeLon Wright. You and Sahal intelligently both said Danny Green, because duh. I said Norman Powell. Why? I'm not entirely sure. So you guys are on track to get the point for that one. Danny Green has started so far for the Raptors 41 games, so he will clinch starting more than Norm with one more game, I think. I didn't do so hot on that one. I did not.
Nope, not much to say there.
I guess my thinking was that Danny came into the year kind of hurt and inconsistent last season, and maybe I just undervalued the Raptors training staff versus the, like, Dr. Nix, who the Spurs seem to have running their medical staff. And so I was like, maybe I just thought Danny was kind of past it. And I thought Norm, because they have so much invested in him and Danny was a free agent, that maybe like Norm would have a pretty easy, like, maybe they start the season with Danny, but if there's any inconsistency whatsoever, maybe they just go to Norm just because, hey, why not try to get this guy going? We owe him a lot of money for the next 4 years. Might as well see what we can get out of him. That was not accurate at all, and I feel dumb for it. So we can move on from that one. Danny Green, freaking awesome. And I feel like last night's game, that's the kind of game where if Danny's playing, they probably win by like 15 just because he's the plus-minus god and makes things a little bit more easier across the board for everybody. Question number four. This is where I come to shine. More starts. Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, or OG Anunoby. And right now, the leader is our friend Pascal Siakam. We started off 41 games. Serge has started 30 of the 39 games he's played. OG has started a grand total of 5 games, mostly through injury, I believe. I'm pretty psyched about this one. I called it. I thought Pascal was going to run away with it once he got the job. What do you have to say for yourself getting this one wrong, Vivek?
I assume I picked Serge?
You picked OG.
I picked OG?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think the thought was Serge was going to be coming off the bench pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty then.
These things are always good at making us realize we know jack shit.
Yeah. So I think more than anything, if I thought JV was starting, then I probably thought you needed Siakam off the bench to help the rebounding, mm-hmm. Keep that sort of bench mob going. And then I think I was probably more than anything excited by the possibility of OG and Kawhi and Danny Green playing defense together. But mm-hmm. Danny Green and Kawhi and Siakam has been just as exciting. So, I got nothing to say, man. Siakam's been awesome. He deserves it. And I'm glad he's run away with it.
Yes.
He has struggled.
Yeah, just OG had a nice game last night. Really nice game last night. Got crunch time minutes because of it. 14 points and 5 of 6 shooting, 2 of 2 from deep. That was great to see. Anyway, back to the prop bets.
One thing I'll say about that is, like, as I was watching this one, I was like, I'm not going to get fooled again. Because he had that great game against the 5-2.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this seems to be a thing against the weak team, so... I'll wait to see it against one of the better teams.
That's fair. I'll take the nice games where you can, because they have not been particularly common over the last little while. Although I will say it's nice that he's rebounding well. He didn't have a crazy rebounding night last night, but he has been rebounding pretty well, which is not mm-hmm. something I thought we would see, and has always kind of been a necessity for him to play small at the four. But yeah, well, we can talk about OG later. There might be another question about him. I'm not sure. Next one here, Kyle Lowry. Points plus rebounds plus assists. I set the over-under at 30.0. We all took the under. We're all going to get the fake point for this one. And it's actually closer than you would have thought. Right now, Kyle with his 14.4 points, 9.6 assists, and 4.3 boards is at 28.3 altogether. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him going on, like, a crazy shooting hot streak and, like, raising his points per game by – like a point from here to the end of the season, or, you know, maybe with his rebounds, like he's always had some big rebounding performances in seasons past, not so much this year. Maybe the assists go back up to where they were at the very beginning of the season, where he was putting up like 15. I don't think it's out of the question that he could get the over on this 30. The points per game is probably the biggest surprise for me, because like I just figured he'd be around like 17 like he usually is. Obviously with Siakam taking an enhanced role, and Ibaka, you know, knocking every single shot down, and Leonard obviously just having more to do with the scoring than DeMar even did last season. And just sort of across the board, everyone's kind of chipping in a little bit more. Kyle's been less required to do that, but as you wrote in your piece for The Athletic, maybe he should be looking to raise his points per game average. Where do you think we'll end up by the end of the year?
Scoring-wise, I could see him getting back, you know, to that 16-ish that he was at last season. Mm-hmm. But I think the big surprise is the assist, right? No one saw him, you know, leading the league for a good month, and then now I think he's still second or third. So to be that high in the assist category, I think is really impressive. The usage has surprised me, although the other side of it is, of course, you're trying to get as much chemistry with Kawhi Leonard as quickly as possible. So I thought they would manage him a bit more like they did last season and really sort of keep his body fresh for the playoffs. But we've already seen it kind of take its toll already. So hopefully that's something they look at and keep in mind going forward. But bit surprised with the under, even though we picked it. But there's definitely an opportunity for him to get up there.
For sure. I would probably bet against it just because that's a lot of ground to make up, 1.5 points or so, with everyone else on the team obviously kind of chipping in as well. But it would behoove the Raptors if he did catch up and get up to that 30 mark, because when he's doing things on offense, it's very, very nice for the team. It was nice to see him last night just kind of quick firing on all the threes that he got. He was only 3 of 9, which is not terrible, but it is actually, I think, improvement on his season percentage by a slight percentage point. But yeah, it's nice to see him looking aggressive and eager to shoot, which was kind of maybe not the thing that we were saying about him before he got hurt. So there's hope for us to all lose that point. All right, moving on to question number 6. This one's interesting. We might take some time for this one. How many All-Stars will the Raptors have? Before the year, Sahal said 3, I said 3, Vivek said 2. I don't know what we're on track to have right now. It could be anything between one and, I guess not three. It's probably one or two. And who the second one would be is a bit of a question mark as well. Vivek, where do you think we are on this? Like, do you think any of us is going to get this point?
Well, if I'm being honest with you, I hope both of you guys get it. You both picked three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if the Raptors, I think it's obviously necessary for them to finish with the top seed, get it. But I think the way, because I was looking at who should be All-Stars this season, and I think it'll be pretty disappointing if Philly gets three of their guys and Toronto only gets two.
Yeah.
So I do hope that one of Ibaka or Siakam gets recognized as that third guy. Because otherwise, you know, you're rewarding Bradley Beal on a team that isn't even in the playoffs. Like, you're reaching for those kind of guys, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope that Ibaka or Siakam gets it, and that way you guys will get the point. I will gladly take the L on that one.
So you're just, like, assuming Kyle's going to be in?
I would be pretty shocked if Kyle was not an All-Star.
I just, like, the games, he's missed 11 games, which is close to the border, I think. I know, like, it shouldn't matter because he's been good when he's played, and, like, being near the top of the league in assists is great, and, like, being near the top of the East as the Raptors team has been, like, he probably should be an All-Star, and, like, he's Kyle Lowry. Of course he's an All-Star. But I do wonder if the games played thing is going to come into play with him, because it has in the past with other guys.
I don't think so, especially, if he plays it out the rest of the way, going into when voting ends and whatnot, I don't think that'll be an issue. If anything, it's hurting his all NBA case.
Yeah.
But I don't see it affecting his All-Star chances.
Yeah, and I guess, like, the guard crop in the East isn't particularly exciting. It's like Kyrie, Kemba, Beal? Like, John Wall's out for the year. You're not picking any Cavs, Knicks, Bulls, or Hawks, or Magics, or Pistons, or Nets, or Heats.
Unless you're voting Simmons in as a guard, right?
Yeah, I guess Simmons is the other one. And then, yeah, that's kind of it for I mean, Bledsoe? Kyle's got to be ahead of Bledsoe.
No, Kyle is definitely in ahead of Bledsoe.
But, yeah. Wow, the East has ass guards. Oh, my God.
Justice Winslow is playing point guard, man.
Yeah. The East is defended by Idris Elba. It's ass guards. It's very bad. Very, very bad. Oh, I guess Oladipo is also a guard, so throw him there too. But he also has the games played thing attached to him too. Just might not matter, I suppose. The East, I've been excited about the top five teams in the East for the whole season and just, like, thrilled about it, but my God, the bottom part of the East makes me just want to, like, never watch basketball again. From 6 through 15, it's all terrible.
Like, yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's actually funny. Right now I'm looking at the standings. The top five teams are all on winning streaks, at least of one game. And then the bottom 10 teams are all on losing streaks. It kind of speaks to...
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, too. Yeah.
It's very Eastern Conference 2019. With Pascal and Serge, I think... I have a bad feeling they're just both going to be kind of fringy guys. Because I don't see them getting voted in, obviously. And then... with the coach's vote, I feel like they could maybe be split between the two. I would like to see Serge get in just because this might be his only chance, really. Like, he's had, like, a kind of an anomalous season for him. And he shot so well. His defense has been so good. And the Raptors have been so great with him on the floor that, like, I think he deserves it, probably. And with Kevin Love being out and what other, like... God, there's, like, five teams to choose All-Stars from. It's horrendous. Like, the Pistons shouldn't get both Blake and Drummond. I think just Blake, probably. And then no one, I guess Vucevic is probably in for the Magic.
Yeah.
He's been good enough and they're, like, close enough to 500, you know, a whole six games under, which is good enough for 10th and, a game and a half out of the playoffs or whatever it is, 3.5, I guess, or 2 games. No one on the Hawks, Bulls, Knicks, or Cavs, or Wizards. Horford might be an interesting case. Like, he's not been great this year.
I don't. Al Horford will be an All-Star this season.
Yeah, I think Ibaka has been better than him. That's, like, without a question. Obviously, Embiid will be in. I don't think Miles Turner is quite there. And then Giannis. And then, like, God, the All-Star team's going to suck ass.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, now that you're having captains pick teams, there really isn't a need for West and East.
Yeah.
Like, just be picking the best 24 guys. It kind of sucks that it's set up this way now. Hopefully that's something, if they keep the captain thing going, maybe that's something they need to look at, and just, you know, you just vote the best 24 guys.
Yeah, if like Bradley Beal gets in and like De'Aaron Fox doesn't, that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
De'Aaron Fox rules. God, I love him so much. Anyway, yeah, I think it's going to be... I wouldn't be shocked if they only got one just because of the minutes thing for Kyle. I think they'll probably get at least two. I think you're getting the point here. I think three might be a little bit ambitious. I hope I'm wrong, but I think you're going to get the point. Let's go to the next one. Wins against East opponents. Damn it, I have to pull up the expanding standings. What did we say? Okay. I set the over-under at 39.5. We all said over. So we all thought they were going to go at least 40-12 against the Eastern Conference. Why did they make this a prop bet? It's boring. hold on. Expanded against the Eastern Conference. Come on.
So between the Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics, they've lost 4. They lost to the Magic. That's 5.
Yeah. They lost to the Pistons once.
Yeah.
What the hell? These ESPN.com. I hate you. This is bad podcasting, but I don't really care. NBA expanded standings. Come on. Let's do this, baby. Here we go. ESPN UK. You have it for me. Perfect. Got some soccer on top of the toolbar here. All right. Damn it. Doesn't even have the right thing. This is stupid. Okay, here we go. Against the East. The Raptors are 20-7. There we go. So they've played 27 of their 52 games, just over halfway. Not quite on pace to get over 39.5. But they do play some pretty bad teams in the second half. That last month of the schedule is just like so delicious to me. I think they're just going to go on a crazy run. Like the last 15 or so games against some really, really putrid squads. So I don't know. How are you feeling about the chances of them going over this one right now?
Yeah, I guess the thing we maybe didn't factor in was the fact that they play the Bucks, 76ers, and Celtics 12 times, right?
Yeah.
So that's obviously a tough go. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended just slightly below.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, they've played a lot of tough games already. They'll be done with Milwaukee on Jan 31st. They still have the 2 games against the Celtics and 1 against Philly? Or are
they done with Philly? Yeah, 1 against Philly, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
Mercifully for Ben Simmons.
I can see it going either way. You assume if health, then yeah, sure, they can go on a run and maybe eclipse that. I will be rooting for that, maintain my lead.
Yep. Yeah, picking all the same things was not a good strategy on any of our parts. All right, next one here. End of season Raptors Award winners. 6-man, most improved, defensive player, MVP, all defense, all NBA, coach of the year. I set the over under 2.5. We both took the over, as did Sahal. What do you think we're looking at here? Are you feeling good about taking the over at 2.5 awards total for the Raptors? What do you got?
I am feeling good. Because you included all NBA, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so Kawhi's going to get that. And then Siakam has a decent shot at most improved.
He's probably the leader right now, right?
I think he's close. I think Harrell is up there just because,
right,
you know, he's probably the secondary guy to Tobias Harris on that team.
God, what a weird team.
So yeah, I think Harrell's got a pretty good shot at it.
De'Aaron Fox too, but that's like a second year jump guy. I don't love using those guys.
That's the thing that you got to weigh with voters, right? How much do they value that? Because then you probably have to look at John Collins too.
Yeah.
And then what else are we looking at? So Kyle, you know, I think it's going to be right on the fence in terms of the All NBA.
Yeah, I just don't think he's gonna. There's too many good guards. Like, you run through like Steph. Like Westbrook probably, just because he's Westbrook. Harden.
I think Westbrook's out of the picture, man. With the way he's shooting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Harden. Then okay, you get Steph, Harden. Steph, Harden, yeah. Lillard probably, Kyrie, and then there's probably two spots up for grabs. And then it's probably like Oladipo and then maybe Lowry. Yeah, maybe Lowry. Or DeRozan. Yeah. Like, DeRozan's been really good for the Spurs. People like DeRozan.
Yeah, so I think if Lowry plays right through to the end from here and the Raptors finish with the top seed, I think he'll have a really good shot at it.
God, Lowry's going to get cucked out of an All-NBA by DeRozan again. And he won't even be on the same team. Over the
also,
two and a half.
I do still think that the MVP race is a little bit alive. I know Giannis is the favorite, but I think if Toronto can win that game on Jan 31st and then sort of pull away at the top, I think Kawhi's got a really good shot at it.
See, I kind of think Harden's the favorite already anyway, like with his last month. And, like, I think Embiid's probably in there. Honestly, whoever finishes first in the East might have the MVP. That might be what it comes down to, whether it's Embiid, Giannis, or Kawhi. Because I still feel like there'd be, like, voter fatigue for Harden, even though he probably doesn't deserve to be a victim of that. He's ridiculous, and he should probably win the MVP. But, like, first in the East, like, there's some narrative juice, like, oh, the new king of the East or whatever, taking over LeBron. And like if Kawhi starts playing back-to-backs, which it sounds like he's probably going to very soon, he will end up, assuming he plays every game or close to it from here on out, like he only have missed 10 games. So say he misses 12 games, plays 70 games altogether or 68, 69, like that might be enough if he's putting up this sort of clip and maybe he raises his assists a little bit and his shooting percentages somehow, he's already shooting like 61 true shooting, but they could still come up because his three-point percentage is still below kind of where he's typically been. He could be in the running there. Also, I think like all defense, probably Kawhi and then maybe Danny Green or like one of Ibaka, Green, or Siakam probably. Maybe they won't be a good enough defense overall to warrant two all defense guys, but like Kawhi just feels like a lock almost.
Yeah, for sure. For the all defense team, so yeah, I mean he might end up doing the over just by himself.
Yeah. All right. Next up, total wins. Yeah, this is the total wins. Question number 9. Over under set at 56.5. You guys both took the over, you and Sahal. I took the under. This is going to be close. I think I'm probably screwed. They're on pace for like 59 or something, maybe 60 at this point. I think I'm probably out to lunch on this one. Do you see anything derailing them from getting to 60 wins? Or sorry, 57 wins is the one, 57?
See, the thing is, You would think that a Kawhi injury might blow that, but then you look at the way they played with just Kyle Lowry and you say, no, they might still be on pace. Barring something happening to both those guys, I think they'll be fine. Assuming health, I mean, I think they'll get over 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they will too. Again, I can't express enough how shitty the back part of the schedule is. Like, I'm just going to read it off just because it's fun and it makes me excited for the future. The last month or so of the season, the Raptors take on. Let's start around. So they play two games against OKC, but before that they play the Pelicans, Heat, Cavs, Lakers, Detroit, Knicks, two against OKC, then Charlotte, Chicago, the Knicks, Chicago, Magic, Nets, Hornets, Heat, Wolves to close the season out. Like, that's about as soft as it possibly could get. So yep. I think they'll get over 60 just based on that sort of creamy end of the schedule. Because like start of the season they were 20-4 against a pretty easy schedule too. Like, I think people have kind of forgotten how good they were at the start of the year. There's no reason I don't think they can't get back to something like that level, that sort of win pace. They were on pace for like 70 wins at one point. And I wouldn't be shocked if like from here on out. Like, what would you say was, like, the win pace you would say they'd win at for the last 39 games? What pace do you think they can sustain?
I mean, they've been winning 31 out of 43 is, I think, just over 70.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can get up 75-ish.
Like, the pace from here in the last 40 games? Like, what would be the 75? Math. Okay. So if they go the win percentage, if they go 32-7,
yeah,
that's a 82 win percentage. So if you go,
you know what, I'm gonna take exactly that because I picked 63 wins at the beginning of the season, and that's exactly what they need. So I'm gonna say that.
All right,
82.
The 82 win percentage is a 67 win pace, by the way. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought okay. Yeah. I thought you said 32 wins.
No, if they go 32-9 in the last whatever part of the season here, they'll end up winning 63 games overall, but it will be at a 67 win pace in those 39 games.
Ah.
Yeah. We the math has gotten a little out of hand. Let's go to the last question. oh God, I almost just died. By the way, I think I'll lock us in for the fake point on the over under for the awards. By the way, just to make us feel better. Playoff rounds one. Obviously, we can't know this one.
The under, right, so you don't get that fake point
for what? Total wins? Oh yeah, I don't get that fake. Yeah, you guys get another fake point. Okay, and then playoff rounds one. Over under was set at 2.5. I said over. Sahal said under. You were a candy ass, as I've written here, and did not make a selection. So I guess I win. I don't know. But start of the season to now, has your opinion changed on whether or not this team can go to the finals? Like, I don't know. You didn't make a pick, so there's nothing to compare it against. But like, how has your view changed on their sort of finals chances since the start of the year?
Well, I mean, my chances, I believed pretty strongly of what they were going to do. I just didn't want to be superstitious, so I didn't say anything.
Convenient.
So, not going to say anything now. But, yeah.
I think nothing whatsoever.
So, I think, you know, I just look at the teams in front of them. I do still think, you know, the biggest challenge when it's all said and done will be the Celtics. I know I've been saying that all season. And they still haven't really figured things out completely. So it looks like it'll be the Bucks, but I still think the Raptors would be the favorites in that series. Let's face it, that first game was kind of a wash because you didn't have Giannis, you didn't have Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one that they won, it, you know, is Kyle Lowry going to have a 0-point game in the playoffs? I don't think so. And it still came down to the one.
Careful what you say there.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Everyone knows I hate that Kyle is bad in the playoffs. Nonsense. Just having some fun. God.
But, yeah. Yeah, you look at that game. Kyle scores 0 points. The Raptors still had a 3-point lead where Kyle gets a wide-open three that could push it to six with 30-ish seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bucks end up taking that game because Brogdon hits the three to tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then... actually, did he hit two threes?
He hit two threes, yeah. It sucked. Yeah. I hated that game a lot.
Yeah, so, and then now you look at this game without Kyle Lowry, they go and win in Milwaukee. So I feel good about the Raptors against the Bucks. I still need to see more against the Celtics, just because I think matchup-wise, there's a lot of, you know, Spider-Man meme going on there.
Except for the fact that the Celtics, you know, don't have a Kawhi Leonard to... point of Kawhi Leonard, yeah.
Correct.
And they're scummy and terrible, and Jason Tatum is Kobe poisoned and all this stuff. I'm not scared. Maybe it's because we, like, the Raptors haven't played the Celtics in forever. I'm just not scared, man. I'm just not. They're but
whatever. Well, that'd be amazing, because then that means there's probably no one to worry about.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably good for this podcast. We've gone through these. Right now, you're with fake awarded points. You're up 6-4-4, 6-4-4, 6-4. I don't really know how to read that. 6-4-4 over myself and Sahal. So congratulations.
See, I'm pretty sure I said I don't even need to make this last pick because I'm pretty sure I'll win it anyway.
I do seem to recall that level of arrogance, and I respect it and appreciate it. And you've backed it up, so congratulations on that as well. That's gonna do it for today's show. Right now Vivek is leading, but there's much time left, and crazy stuff could happen. We have no idea. Maybe Kyle Lowry goes on a crazy run where he scores 30 a game for a week and gets himself back up over that 30 plateau for points, rebounds, assists. Who knows? That's why we watch the games. to see who gets validated on their preseason predictions on this podcast. All right, that's going to do it. Vivek, anything you want to plug right now?
Anything to plug? No, not really. Just look out for my usual stuff for Raptors Republic, for The Athletic, for Sportsnet, for Vice, and follow me on Twitter at VivekMJacob.
Cool. You can find me at Woodley Sean. I will have a Patreon mailbag podcast up sometime this week, waiting for some more questions to filter in for that one. If you're a Patreon listener, please reply to the post on the Patreon page and give me some questions. It'd be very nice of you. I haven't written anything because I don't really write that much anymore because it's too hard. That's kind of where I've fallen on it. It's too hard. I'm not good at it. And everyone else is better than me at it. So I'm just going to podcast my way to riches and fortune and fame. So if I do write anything, it'll be on Raptors HQ. If you want to support the Patreon page, it's patreon.com/SeanWoodleyRaptors. It's very much appreciated if you want to chip me a few bucks over there. Again, a Patreon mailbag podcast coming out this week. And then some sort of breakdown of, I think the next podcast we're going to do is like the trades that didn't happen in Raptors history, which it's a concept pitched by one of the Patreon subscribers when they first subscribed, and I haven't done it yet. But we'll do something mostly about Kyle Lowry not getting traded to the Knicks, probably, and some other rumors that have been circulated in the past about Raptors deals gone awry. But until then, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time on Locked on Raptors.